in a world that gets more mysterious every day, where government conspiracies and cover-ups are the norm, you need a beacon of truth. You need the Paranormal Patriot. You know, doesn't it figure? In a day, I fly out and my destination is a warm, tropical climate. I have been counting the days before I leave this wretched weather that Michigan has been having. 40, 50 degrees maybe at the most, winds blowing 30 to 40 miles an hour on a daily basis, and then if it's not doing that, it's raining cats and dogs. So I can't wait to get out of here. And I look at the forecast for when I'm gone. The weather here in Michigan looks to be better than the weather where I'm going. Tuesday and Wednesday of this week where I live, lower to mid-80s, perfectly sunny. I look at the forecast for my whole time down in this warm, sunny, tropical climate. 85 storms. 90% chance of storms every single day I'm there. Tell me this guy right here talking to you was not born under the wrong sign. But you know what? It's a free trip. I've never been there. Probably will never go back. I'm going to take advantage of it. I will sit by the pool with a cocktail, whatever they drink down there with the little umbrellas. I will sit there in the pouring rain with lightning flashing all around me because, damn it, I'm in Costa Rica. I am going to take advantage of that. So regardless of the weather, know that I will be having a good time. But before I leave, I promised you I would do everything I could to get a show on board for you this week, and I am not going to disappoint you. I've spent the last, probably 4 or 5 months disappointing you every week. It's just a roll of the dice. Is he going to have a show this week? Oh, look, he's sick again. Oh, he's on vacation this week. Oh, well, I'm doing it this week. It may not be the longest show on record, but I'm giving you a show, and I hope you enjoy it. So this show is going to be a continuation of last week's show. It's going to give you a little bit of current events. It's going to give you a little paranormal and a little bit of somewhat paranormal. It's going to be kind of a conspiracy theory, kind of a black ops project. Does it exist? So I'm just going to jump right into the show right here, and I'm going to start by talking about the obvious, and that is the firing of James Comey. But now, sit down. Don't have a heart attack. I'm going to throw you a curveball by, I guess in a way, siding with the liberals on this one. So here it is. This is my opinion of the James Comey firing. It looks bad. It honestly looks bad on the Trump administration. Everything the liberals, the Democrats are talking about on television, on the radio, they're right. The media has convinced America that Trump is being investigated for Russian collusion. It has been, 6 or 7 months now, and there's no evidence that has been found connecting Trump to the Russians, but that doesn't matter to the Democrats, doesn't matter to the media, and it's starting not to matter to the American people because they've done their job. A lot of people, if not the majority of the people, believe that Donald Trump is being investigated. But on top of that, there's evidence, overwhelming evidence, that Donald Trump was caught up and is involved with the Russians. However, they haven't found anything. But regardless, it looks bad. First off, James Comey was blindsided. He was unaware of the firing. He was actually going to be talking in California to a group of FBI members when he saw on the news James Comey fired. Wow. Hi, how you doing? You could have at least called me beforehand. He was about ready to ask for additional funding to continue the Russian investigation. Now, with that being said, if they have all of this evidence that points to Donald Trump being involved with the Russians, why? Why at that point do they need additional funding to continue the investigation? Shouldn't they have all the evidence that they need? It also begs the question, why now? Why fire him now? That just gives the Democrats fodder in their argument that the firing was politically motivated. You've been on the job since January. So that's roughly coming up on 4 months, 5 months. Why in all of this 4 to 5 month time did you not fire him then? Why did it have to be now when he asks for more money for the investigation? If you look at it like that, it looks suspicious. And you've got the White House coming out and giving multiple stories on how this firing occurred. It was at first at the recommendation of the DOJ. But now Donald Trump is out there saying, nope, I planned on firing him the whole time. So again, it looks bad. So after this firing, as expected, the left has been losing their ever-loving mind. They're calling for Trump's impeachment yet again, and they're labeling the firing as a treasonous act. They're on the airwaves screaming that what he's doing is unconstitutional. Well, this is coming from the same party that wants to rip up the Constitution, so the Constitution only matters when it values and moves along their agenda. But I want my listeners to know, I'm sure a lot of you are going, oh my God, Tom, you've done it. You've really done it. No, I have not lost my mind. I have not joined the dark side. All I'm saying is it looks fishy. But let's be honest with you. And when I say this, I'm not talking as a conservative. I'm not talking as an anti-liberal. I'm talking as just an everyday person, as the paranormal patriot, as Tom Velasquez. Jim Comey had to go. He absolutely had to go. All I wish is that the situation would have been handled better and the timing of this whole situation was horrible. But let's get back to who I am. And let's look at the liberal side of this. Let's see if maybe, just maybe, the liberals make sense in this situation. Spoiler alert, no. You see, the liberals, they have a love-hate relationship with Jim Comey. In July, they loved him. He gave Hillary a free pass. In October, they hated him. Wasn't it Hillary Clinton about a week, month ago, that stated in an interview that it was Jim Comey who in part cost her the election? In fact, well, let's hear it from the horse's mouth. The Democrats had this to say about James Comey, and this comes courtesy of Deputy Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Nobody was in the dark, Jonathan. You want to create this false narrative. If we want to talk about contradicting statements and people that were maybe in the dark, how about the Democrats? Let's read a few of them. You want to talk about them? Here's what Democrats said not long ago about Comey. Harry Reid said Comey should resign and be investigated by the Senate. Senator Chuck Schumer said, I don't have confidence in him any longer. Senator Bernie Sanders said it would not be a bad thing for the American people if Comey resigned. Nancy Pelosi said Comey was not in the right job. Former DNC chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz said that she thought Comey was no longer able to serve in a neutral and credible way. President Obama's advisor Valerie Jarrett reportedly urged him to fire Comey. Just yesterday, Representative Maxine Waters said that Hillary Clinton would have fired Comey.
So, first off, between you and I, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, wow, I think she would be a terrific alternative to Sean Spicer. Sean Spicer, to be, and let's be honest, he's a train wreck. He does not do the Trump administration any favors. I have a very, very sneaking suspicion that you will see this young lady slowly take over the role of Sean Spicer. But let's get back to the matter. The same Democrats that were calling for him to resign or be fired, they're now beside themselves that he is gone. This is an example of what I feel is completely wrong with this country. The fact is, there's too much partisanship in this country. It goes both ways. I don't want to just bash on liberals totally on this, because trust me, it goes both ways on this. But there is way too much partisanship. Rather than accept the fact that this guy, James Comey, was not capable of doing his job, and accepting the fact that he should have been fired a long time ago, we're going to play partisan politics and say, nope, this is a treasonous act. This guy should be impeached because he had the gall to fire the head of the FBI. This is why, this partisan politics is why nothing can get done in this country. Rather than listen to their constituents, the people that put them in Washington, they're going to play partisan politics. They're going to go with their own party's agenda, whether they know it's right or wrong. Now, there are some people that literally will say, yeah, this is absolutely a treasonous act, and they believe that. There are a lot more people that would say that, knowing full and well that this isn't what they believe, but because this is the party line, these are the party talking points, they have to say it. So they go out there and they spew their quote-unquote knowledge and their disbelief and abject disgust over what happened. They go in front of the American people and just regurgitate and regurgitate and regurgitate. The media does the same. Until the American people are just absolutely brainwashed, and the majority of them believe, yes, this was wrong. I will admit when I'm wrong. I completely misjudged the power of the media in this country. I had every fiber of my being believed that we as a collective country, as a collective people, we're above being brainwashed by the media, that we would be able to know right from wrong. Sadly, I don't believe that's true. There are a large number of us, most of them listen to this show, that know right from wrong. They know the media is nothing but a propaganda machine. However, that's not enough. We don't have enough people that believe that, because the people that listen to the mainstream media, those are the people that are out there rioting, protesting, screaming, crying, you name it. They're winning. They are winning. The minority in this country whose beliefs do not mirror those of the majority, they are winning. And now, we have to fight an uphill battle, because we don't have the mass media, the mainstream media, on our side. We've got the quote-unquote alternative or alt-right media, but that's not enough. We now, and I'm not talking politics, I'm not talking labeling one a liberal and one a conservative or a Republican, I'm talking The people who have common sense, who know right from wrong. We the people who have common sense and know the right way to do things as opposed to the wrong, we now need to step up. I'm going through. I guess this is how I want to say it. I'm going through a transformation. I am no longer. I may rip and just shred apart the liberals. But I don't classify myself as a conservative. I don't want to label myself, put myself in a label as a conservative, libertarian, anti-liberal. I just want to do what's right. And I want my country to follow. When the Republicans, conservatives, whatever the hell they call themselves nowadays, when they screw up, I'm going to call them out on it. When the liberals screw up, which, let's be honest, the way I believe, they're going to screw up 99% more of the time than the quote-unquote conservatives. But regardless, I'm going to call them out for it. If you screw up, I will call you out on it. The days of me, well, what's the word I'm looking for? The days of me backing and maybe giving the conservative Republican Party a break are done. I'm done with political parties. I want somebody in here who is going to do what I voted him in to do, not what the party that he represents wants him to do. Until we get people in there that are going to vote and act that way, where we are is where we're going to stay. But again, back to James Comey. I got a little bit off track. Again, I want to make the point clear to you. He had to go. He lost the trust of his fellow FBI agents. He brought doubt to the integrity of the Bureau. But more importantly, he lost the respect of the American people. He had an unprecedented news conference. He spelled out the crimes of Hillary Clinton in full detail, one by one by one, listing her crimes. And then told the American people it wasn't her intent to commit those crimes. Knowing fully well, or he should have known full and well, as the head of the FBI, he should have known intent has nothing to do with it. You can't judge by intent. Did you break the law? Yes or no. But regardless, he doesn't make that call as the head of the FBI. So for him to go out there and politicize, he put himself into the political fray when he went out in front of the nation July 5th, 2016, and basically said, Hillary Clinton committed all these crimes, but we're letting her go. He acknowledged during his interrogation, I guess for lack of a better word, of his devoted friendship to Loretta Lynch. And with that being said, he would not comment on her. Well, that is not up to him to do that. You can't put friendship above the law. And he did. He was too political. He had too many unanswered questions, too much of a politic position when he should have had none. For that reason alone, he should have been fired. He took the world's most honored and respected organization, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, and turned it into a sideshow. For that, he should have been fired. So when the liberals come out and say, oh my gosh, he should have been fired for this, or oh my gosh, he should have been fired for that, and then when he does get fired, to have them come out and say, he can't do that. That is, oh my God, this is horrible, is a double standard. It's totally partisan. But the problem is, they have a point. I love what Donald Trump is doing in the office. I really do. But man, he's got to clean up the way he does things in front of America. Because he makes himself look bad. He opens himself up for easy attacks. So that's my two cents on the James Comey firing. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to come back with yet another moth / owl man sighting in Chicago. Then I want to talk to you about maybe a black ops program. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. So sit back, relax, open that mind of yours. We will be right back. My name is Tom Velasquez, and you are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Again, I would like to give my support to the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. If you've had any type of encounter that you cannot explain in the Southern Michigan or surrounding areas, you need to contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group at sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. Please contact them. They are a very professional group of enthusiasts that whose soul purpose is to get to the bottom of the Bigfoot mystery. Again, if you've had any type of encounter you cannot explain in Southern Michigan or the surrounding area, please contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group at sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. Alrighty, we are back. Now, before I start the next topic of the show, I want to give you yet another encounter with the Chicago moth / owlman. This one would make number 6 within the course of a month. The last encounter I gave you was along the Calumet River. This one is along the Calumet Park. The encounter goes like this. I was out with my son at Calumet Park at about 8 p.m. walking the trail, as we have since he was about 6 years old. We were talking about what was going on within our lives and what our plans were for the upcoming summer. As we walked toward the field house, we were overflown by what I thought was a large goose, as we have seen multiple geese fly around the city and suburbs within the last couple of months. As we watched, it became quickly apparent that this was not a goose, but something much bigger. I can describe it as a large bat, but it had a distinct human figure about 6 feet in height per my estimates. It was blackish / grayish in color and had an enormous pair of wings that must have been 8 to 10 feet in width. My son was in complete shock and asked me what that thing was. My response was an equally surprised, "I don't know." This bat flew up over the field house and towards where the tennis courts would be. I heard a couple yell out in surprise as this bat flew up over the field house and out of view. The entire encounter lasted about 30 to 35 seconds from the initial sighting to it flying up and over the field house and out of sight. I estimated the speed of this bat to be at least 40 to 50 miles an hour, and it had to be at least 15 to 20 feet above us as it was just over the top of the streetlights. It was dusk, but the sun had just started to set, so there was enough light to still get a good view of the object as it flew overhead. I was only able to get a general description as it flew over us at that speed and prohibited from getting any finer details of it. We went around the field house and tried to see if we could see anything on the other side, but did not get any other views of this creature. The rest of the evening went without incident, and I only decided to report this after reading some reports of a similar sightings within the city online. So again, that makes number 6. And the thing is, either these people, all of these people that are seeing this are faking information in hoaxing this whole thing, or there is something genuinely going on above the skies of Chicago. Every single sighting is almost identical. 6 foot tall, 8 to 10 foot wingspan, black, flying overhead. Every single one that I've given you is exactly the same. What is it? Is it somebody in a wingsuit? I don't think so, because a wingsuit, you have to jump off a high object and you glide down. Numerous reports have stated that they've seen this creature on the ground and then jump up and fly. There's no mountains, there's no cliffs, there's nothing that I would think in Chicago other than maybe water towers, high buildings, but we're not seeing them downtown. We're seeing them in and around Chicago in areas where I would say that there's not places where someone in a wingsuit can jump off and glide around. It doesn't work that way in a wingsuit. Something, and the more I see of these encounters, the more I'm becoming convinced that there is some type of creature lurking in the skies above Chicago. If, again, I've asked last week, I'll ask again, if you have had any type of sighting, let me know. Now, please, don't jump on the bandwagon and just give me a sighting you never had, but it looks or sounds similar to this. I want legitimate sightings. So, again, if you've had a sighting in and around the Chicago area, contact me at www.theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com. Confidentiality, highest priority. I will not give your name if you do not choose to give it. But we need to get to the bottom of this. Something is now definitively flying over the heads of people in Chicago. We need to get to the bottom of it. Next week, let's see if I have another sighting. So, now, I want to get to a subject that's near and dear to me. And that is space. Ever since I was a kid, I have been infatuated with outer space. When I was in school, I struggled in science. And then astronomy came in for a semester, and I aced it. I love outer space. I love the planets. I love the solar system. I just gobble it up. That's why I was so excited when we went to Kennedy Space Center in Florida. My son is following in my footsteps. He's 13 years old, and his goal is to be an astronaut and help colonize Mars. Now, while I am one to always say shoot for your goals, I'm a little bit apprehensive because to colonize Mars means to be gone for years at a time. So, while I'd love him to achieve his goals, as a father who loves his child and doesn't want to be without him, you if you have kids, you get it. But something happened recently that not a lot of people were aware of, and less than that even knew it existed. So this article I'm going to read from comes from Business Insider, and it talks about the U.S. military's X-37B space plane. Well, what is the X-37B space plane, Tom? Well, this plane landed at NASA's Kennedy Space Center, and it ended a record-breaking 718-day orbit. Now, would we have known about this if it didn't achieve a sonic boom during its landing? I don't know, but so many people heard this boom and saw this thing land that they started asking questions. Now, the U.S. Air Force has two X-37B orbital test vehicles, what it calls its newest and most advanced reentry spacecraft. This craft is 27 feet long with a 14-foot wingspan. These planes, which they're calling them, are about one quarter of the size of NASA's retired space shuttles and have a cargo bay about the size of a pickup truck. So it's quite a bit smaller. Now, the first X-37 program started in 1999, and the X-37B first flew in April 2010, returning after 8 months in orbit. The next mission launched in March of 2011 and had 15 months in orbit, and the third mission launched in December 2012. That orbit lasted 22 months. According to Air Force Brigadier General Wayne Monmouth, our team has been preparing for this event for several years, and I am extremely proud to see our hard work and dedication culminate in today's safe and successful landing of the X-37B. Now, Brigadier General Wayne Monmouth is the commander of the 45th Space Wing. I never knew such a thing existed. Now, the most recent X-37B mission launched in May 2015. It spent all that time in orbit. Anybody know about it? I like to think I'm pretty knowledgeable about what's up above us. I have apps that list the satellites, where they are, the constellations. I never knew anything about this. But this orbital test vehicle program has 2,085 days spent in orbit. However, amateur astronomers have spotted the craft through telescopes, and when they observed it, it has been at a relatively low altitude, approximately less than 200 miles, which is lower than the International Space Station. So, many of us were unaware that we had a new quote-unquote space shuttle. The last I knew, we were taking bids and we were taking new designs to see which one would best fit the next generation shuttle. I didn't know that they already picked one. They picked one before the shuttles were even retired, about 12 years before they were retired. So what is this X-37B? What is it for? What does it do? Well, according to the Air Force, the X-37B program, they perform risk reduction, experimentation, and concept of operations developments for reusable space vehicle technologies. The Air Force has said the program is testing advanced guidance, navigation, and control, thermal protection systems, avionics, high-temperature structures and seals, conformal reusable insulation, lightweight electromechanical flight systems, advanced propulsion systems, advanced materials in autonomous orbital flight, reentry, and landing. Everything but the kitchen sink, it apparently seems. But is that the truth? And that's where this segment comes into full circle. Is there a secret space program that most, if not the majority of Americans, know nothing about? I'm going to give you a quick answer. The answer to that question is absolutely yes. There is a secret space program that we know nothing about. However, it may not be as nefarious as most people believe. Now, if you're into conspiracy theories, the name Gary McKinnon absolutely rings a bell to you. Gary McKinnon is a quote-unquote hacker from the UK who purportedly hacked into the US Space Command's computers. While he was in there, he says he found a list of officers' names under the heading of non-terrestrial officers. Now, he says it doesn't mean little green men. What he thinks it means is not Earth-based. He says he found a list of fleet-to-fleet transfers and a list of ships' names. Now, when he looked them up, he found that they were not U.S. Navy ships. And at that point, that made him believe that they were U.S. spaceships. Does the United States have a secret space program that has non-terrestrial officers having fleet-to-fleet transfers of spaceships? between spaceships, I should say. At this point in the game, I'm going to say anything is possible. Now, when this first came out, I was all over it. The first thing I think of is, oh my gosh, we've got warships out in space. We've got a whole fleet of non-terrestrial officers ready to fight an incoming alien army. That's not what this is. I mentioned when I got back from Florida that at the Kennedy Space Center, it was told to us that we are going back to the moon. That's not common knowledge for the American people. We are going back to the moon. We are going to Mars by 2020 to colonize Mars. The technology we have is far superior than we are being told. Now, it has been said that in 1969, when we landed on the moon, that the technology they used was not even as advanced as a Texas Instrument calculator. Well, that's not even close to being true. Truth be told, growing up, I was that conspiracy theorist that was skeptical and did not believe we actually landed on the moon, that it was faked on a soundstage. I've grown out of that phase. I've seen the satellite photos, the amateur astronomer photos of the surface of Mars that show where the flags are. You can see the tracks where the lunar rover was rolling around. We've been to the moon. You cannot get to the moon on a Texas Instrument calculator. Our technology was much greater than we were led to believe. The same holds true now. Do we have a fleet of ships up there that are transferring cargo? Do we have a group of non-terrestrial officers up there? Honestly, I say yes, probably. Are they waiting for the incoming invasion ready to destroy the onslaught of an alien army? No, no, that's not what it is. I believe that this starship, spaceship, whatever the heck you want to call it, is being developed for colonization purposes. There has been, well, for years now, an abundance of black triangle sightings all over the world, and they're being attributed to UFOs. In my opinion, what you're seeing is not a UFO, it's an advanced spacecraft. In the 80s, in the 70s and the 80s, people were seeing something similar, a black triangle. Lo and behold, what that black triangle turned out to be was a stealth bomber. It was a secret American bomber that they were test flying. People were seeing it. They were reporting it. Oh my gosh, I don't know what it is. It's a UFO. It's an alien craft. Well, it's not alien. It's military. These black triangles that people are seeing all over the world, it's just another military aircraft. Possibly a military space aircraft. Look, the X-37B, we knew nothing about. We had no idea it even existed. But yet, boom, sonic boom, what is landing in Florida? Well, they've got to talk about it now. Too many people heard the boom and saw it come in. Secrets out. Yes, we've had an aircraft or a spacecraft in orbit 2,018 days. Apparently, amateur astronomers have seen this thing. Where is this on the news? Why is the news not talking about what is that? Orbiting the Earth at a lower altitude than the International Space Station. It's a secret government program. NASA, who I love. I love NASA. I love space. I love everything to do with it. Some people are against NASA, saying NASA should stand for Never a Straight Answer, which, look, it's got some truth to it. Don't tell me they're not hiding things they're finding on the moon and hiding things they're finding on Mars, and who else knows? Who knows what else they're hiding, I should say. But without NASA, we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are today in the form of colonization. We are ready to colonize the moon. We are just a step away from getting ready to colonize Mars. People don't realize we have the technology to do that. NASA has developed a hyperwarp drive that can get us to Mars in months. How many of you know that? There are things going on out there that we have no concept of, that we're not being told. So a secret non-terrestrial officer list, transferring cargo and supplies from ship to ship, I'm not going to say it's not real. I'm actually going to say it's probably a certainty. We're not being told the truth. I'm not going to say we're not being told the truth. We're not being informed of what's going on out there. Honestly, most people could care less, because most people are so involved on what's happening on our own little planet. Well, for us that love space and love the solar system and just can't get enough of it, this is a big deal. The fact that this X-37B landed and spent 2,018 days in orbit, that's a big deal. So yes, the question, do we have a secret space program? Absolutely we do. No question we do. Is it to ward off an incoming alien onslaught? No, absolutely not. In my opinion, it's there to get ready for the colonization of the moon, the colonization of Mars. These black triangles we're seeing are just preludes of the craft that will take us there, in my humble opinion. Let me know what you think of that. Do we have a secret space program? Do you live in the Chicago area? Have you seen a Mothman? Let me know. www.theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, you know it's coming. The winner of this week's Brian Maddow Award. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot, and we will be right back. I want to give a shout out to the usual suspects: Danielle from New Jersey, Chris from Wisconsin, Michael from Saginaw, Pat from St. Charles, Michigan. Oh, let's see, Andy from Texas, Richard, you know you're going to get a shout out from Michigan. Thank you to everyone that is continuing to share the show, to spread the word of the Paranormal Patriot. I've said it before, I want to continue to reiterate to you how close we are to bursting to the next level. I need your help. I need your support. Please help me by listening, sharing, talking, tweeting, mentioning, whatever you need to do to promote the show. I beg of you to please do so. You will have my undying love and support, which is probably not worth much, but you can say you got it. So for those of you who have already done so, thank you so much. If you haven't already done so, please share the show, talk the show, mention the show, do whatever you can do to promote the Paranormal Patriot. I thank you in advance. It's that time again, boys and girls, where the fastest growing, most anticipated part of this show is coming to you live. My name is Tom Velasquez, broadcasting to you from the Paranormal Patriot Studios in Owosso, Michigan, soon to be sending you live down to, well, Owosso, Michigan, with your host, me, to give you this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award. You, my dear listeners of the Paranormal Patriot, have made this award in its infancy something that every politician, that every journalist, every celebrity, every lack of common sense person in the world looks forward to winning. It seems as if these people go out of their way to say the most ridiculous things just so they have a chance to win the Brian Maddow Award. And it is because of you. Without your support and you sending these idiots to me as nominees, we would not have the opportunity to give these idiots the recognition they deserve. So without further ado, I send you to Tom Velasquez for the Brian Maddow Awards. Hey, thanks, Tom. Appreciate everything you're doing down at the Paranormal Patriot Studios. As always, on location in Owosso, Michigan, celebrities left and right. Whoopi Goldberg still coming every week. Katy Perry still barely wearing anything. Samuel Jackson hurling obscenities left and right. Amy Schumer still looking for her career, I guess. But hey, we're here for one reason, and that is to crown this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award. This week's winner, I don't even know how to describe. I talked earlier on the show about partisanship. This guy takes it to the next level. So let's not wait any longer. Let's get to this week's winner. May I have quiet, please? Quiet, please. Now, this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award, drumroll, please. This week's winner is ACLU lawyer Omar Jadwat. I really didn't think, no, they never show up. You would think, as many people that are saying the stupidest things, that they want to be here. Oh, he's still trying to defend himself? He can't defend himself. No, there's no way. I'll accept it. I'm used to it by now. Alrighty, ACLU lawyer Omar Jadwat is this week's recipient of the Brian Maddow Award. He wins this award because this man, who was arguing in front of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, admitted that the same exact travel ban could be constitutional if it was enacted by Hillary Clinton. Judge Paul Niemeyer asked Jadwat if a different candidate had won the election and then issued this order, I gather you wouldn't have any problem with that. Jadwat, in his infinite wisdom, responded, "Yes, Your Honor, I think in that case it would be constitutional." So again, partisanship rears its ugly head. Donald Trump won the election, fair and square, and he chose to write an executive order banning potential terrorists from coming into this country. Jadwat and the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, have taken it upon themselves to call this ban unconstitutional. But if Hillary Clinton would have won and she would have enacted the exact same ban, Well, then he would have had no problem. And for that, Omar Jadwat, I give you this. The most recent recipient of the Brian Maddow Award. I don't know how many awards you have won in your day. I can't imagine there's many. But let me tell you this. This needs to be forefront on your mantle. Show this award with pride. Show everyone the asinine statement that you have uttered in front of the country. You have told everyone that I have no legal ability. As a lawyer, I have no legal ability. I cannot differentiate between what is legal and what is my opinion. You would rather have us believe that because Donald Trump is Donald Trump, he enacted a law that is unconstitutional. But if Donald Trump's name was Hillary Clinton, you'd have no problem with it. This is the problem with America, everyone. Partisanship reigns supreme. And until this ends, we go no further. You have been listening to the Brian Maddow Awards, and I thank you. I now send it back to the Paranormal Patriot Studios with your host, me, Tom Velasquez. Thanks, Tom. As always, phenomenal job. I couldn't have done it better myself. Honestly, you do a great job. So, these Brian Maddow Awards, these recipients are getting more and more ludicrous. I honestly believe that these people will just say the most ridiculous things in hope of receiving a Brian Maddow Award from the Paranormal Patriot. So keep those suggestions coming. This week's winner was sent to me by Damon in Oregon, the state of Oregon, the liberal state of Oregon. Damon, you stand out. Thanks, Damon. So that'll be the show for today. I hope everybody has a great week. My plan, again, I get back on late Thursday night from Costa Rica. My plan is to somehow squeeze a show in next week. Remember, please share the show. Tell everyone you know about this show. And next week, if you have a chance, now I'm not going to have my phone on. It's an international area. I'm not paying those ridiculous international rates, so my phone will be off. But what I want my listeners to do, I had a listener, and I'll talk about it next week. I didn't have time this week. Ask me a question of my opinion. Crazy. Unbelievable. If you have a question, paranormal, political, anything, ask me at theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com, and I will answer your question online. That may be the newest segment of the Paranormal Patriot. It may be as popular as the Brian Maddow Awards. We can only pray. So thanks for listening to the show this week. I had a great time. I hope everybody has a great week. Again, share the show, Twitter, minds.com, Facebook. Do whatever you can to promote the show. Everything you do helps me out tremendously. Thanks for listening. I will talk to you next week. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot.